At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Well, we're back. We're live on the stream. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison on the ones and twos. Once again, the Royals are live. Pre-game. I got my man Austin Orman down there covering it. He's going to bring all the exciting news, hopefully for the Royals to pull through tonight. Pretty well up to this point. But, you know, we're just covering, football and what it takes and this new world of the transfer portal, man. I mean, it's an ever-changing landscape of college football. I think it's going to change again if or when they go to 105 and players become employees. It's going to affect it, I think, in a good way. I don't think you will see as many guys jumping in the portal. I do think it's a little bit harder now to, I don't know, I wouldn't call it D-star guys that, you know, that Saban and those guys made famous, because kids think, they think, right? And here's why they think this. For every story that you hear of player A not liking his situation at said school and going in the portal, now, all things equal, right? If he's a really, really good player, like down,
buff out.
Like Downs going from Bama to Ohio State. I mean, take that out. But said player to leaving school one, going in the portal and essentially leveling up financially and then obviously skill wise is like 1%. The majority of time you go into the portal, you make a lateral move or you go down. Now you can go down and then come back up and it works out very well. But, the portal's will be a little bit different once you become an employee. Then it goes both ways, but it is different. So, you know, like I said, the landscape of college football has changed. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand in 1994, 96, 97, 98, that there wasn't the transfer portal NIL. Essentially, they could do whatever they want, a coach. They could block block who you could transfer. They could block when you transferred, and then you would have to sit out a year. So that's why it wasn't happening that much. The rules have definitely changed. But what has not changed is what it takes to win and what you're willing to do. And so that's what, you know, I think Rule and those guys are instilling in their, you know, moving slowly but surely, you know, to that, you know, 85%, 90%, 90%, 95% on the team or whatever. I think they're higher than probably people would really think. And when you're in college football, everybody is very, like, quick to judge. And that's where you have to have a plan on what you want, what you need, who you want, and who you need, and be willing to adjust, maybe not pivot. Because you have to be able to adjust in the type of player you need, is because the Big Ten could change. Yeah, I mean, heck, in a year from now or 2 years from now, you could just be one big conglomerate of the Big Ten and SEC, and it'd be your own league and have your own national champion. And then you have the other two power, you know, four conferences with everybody else, and
essentially going AFC, NFC.
Right. Mm. And then what? So then everything would change, how you operate, because now you're kind of recruiting in your own little bubble, playing in your own little bubble if that comes to fruition. Or they might change to some sort of regional type of thing. So, and that would change the landscape of college football once again. And, you know, with the changing of that, then expectations, you know, have to be adjusted as well. So it's, you know, it's a, it's not a, it, I wouldn't say it's an easy, I wouldn't say it's a, I don't think it's a hard time, but it's definitely not easy.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and bouncing from program to program, one, mainly because you're moving states. So yeah. If I'm going from place to place, I am who I am no matter where I am.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter whether I was moving to a predominantly white school that had money, a predominantly black school that had money, a white school that didn't have money, a diverse school that did or didn't. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
I was the core to it. The transfer portal is just a magnifier and a mirror to what currently exists in that space. If you're if you're a bad coach or you have a bad coaching staff, the transfer portal is only going to magnify who you already are. It doesn't matter if you whoever gets trained by Jay Foreman is going to get trained by Jay Foreman, and it doesn't matter if somebody transfers from Wesleyan or Doan or Alabama, they're going to get the Jay Foreman treatment and the Jay Foreman standard. Now, if it's not Jay Foreman as a coach, those things still apply.
Yeah.
You still have championship players from Alabama, but if the coach can't get them to fix or mend the things that were issues at Alabama, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you go in the transfer portal and you know, your habits and your work ethic and your buy-in or whatever you want to call it, all the things.
And you might get lucky find out that, guess what? Maybe Coach DP can come up with the right words to get you to do the things that Coach Foreman can't get you to do.
Right.
But those are the 1% that you talk about. And like, those are the ones where you go, it just was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
I would imagine that Joe Burrow was the same quarterback at Ohio State that he was at LSU. He just had people in front of him. And then he got hurt. He got hurt, and then you fall behind. Or Dwayne Haskins, or the full range of those quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, he was the same dude at A&M that he ended up being at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's Troy Aikman. Like, we understood that even the change of programs and the systems do matter. But Troy Aikman's talent and work had to be in place in both places.
Yeah.
So, look, as much as we spend time on the transfer portal, it really is just...
it's just recruiting. It's just a second round of recruiting.
It's second chance you.
Yeah. And I mean, you get a little bit... I guess you can forecast a little bit better, because if we're recruiting Harrison and he's played 2 years at Youngstown State, mm-hmm. you're like, okay, well, we actually see him playing against better competition on a 2-year basis than high school. Mm-hmm. And how can he maybe more readily fit into our system? But a lot of the things that have to deal with fits have nothing. First of all, there's Harrison, the player and the person and the teammate. Mm-hmm. That's over here. Then it's like the scheme and the fit and opportunity. Right. And so.
And then people playing with him, like the people next to him, you get the wrong person next to you. It's a problem.
Like, he does really well with a really good team-oriented defense where everybody's kind of in their place. Then you got guys that freelance. Well, then it makes the guy that freelances doesn't play well, then neither does Harrison. And it's always – you see this a lot at the NFL level, right? And I saw this when we happened to draft a linebacker, or he was a defensive end in college, named Corey Moore. I think at that time for Virginia Tech.
Yep.
I think at that time, I know he led the nation in sacks, but I think he might have been the all-time leader or one of the top leaders in sacks in ACC history at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there wasn't any COVID year and all the other stuff. So in a very short time, he was destroying quarterbacks. Well, then he gets to Buffalo, and they try to make him a linebacker. Now, this man didn't play 4 years with his hand in the dirt. Now, there is guys that can make the transition from hand in the dirt to, you know, playing outside linebacker, so forth and so on. But it's not a lot that, you know, so what's always interesting to me in pros is where they spend all this money, resources, send DP out the scout, Harrison out the scout, send me to say, like, I'm the lead, you know, I'm the, you know, the director of college scouting. We go out and we see this guy and he's a let's just say, middle linebacker. Right? That's what he is. We're like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to draft him number 8. We're going to put you on the outside. We drafted you watching this.
John Riggins.
Right.
John Riggins. At 6'2", 240 pounds, ran a 9,600-yard dash in Kansas. Goes to the Jets, becomes the leading rusher for the Jets immediately. Comes to Washington. They turn him into a fullback. And he's not having the success. Now, he's still a grinder.
Right. But not with the Jets, right?
Not his thing. And then finally, Joe Gibbs says, okay, so what do we have to do? Because Jack Pardee had him running fullback. Joe Gibbs says, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And he goes, I'm your tailback. I'm the best tailback in this league.
Right.
And Joe Gibbs said, you know what? I have resume that says that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try it. And then he heads to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He goes to the Hall of Fame because he finally had a coach that said, oh, yeah. Do what you're good at,
right?
And I'll coach you to it,
right?
It's amazing how it happens across the board.
Yeah, it is crazy, and there's always a reply to it. There's always that case. So like Brian Urlacher, right? So he was a safety at New Mexico or New Mexico State, whichever one he went to. But he was 6'4", like 225. I mean, obviously, he was a freak athlete, mm-hmm. obviously, right? That wasn't going to work in the NFL at a safety. Because he was just mainly, essentially, what Brian Urlacher did in college, essentially, he was just a whole player, which is like a freelancing player that was able to go do his thing. Well, Chicago, if you remember when they first drafted him for height, weight, size, and speed, I mean, Urlacher is legit 6'4", 6'5". You know, he got up to 240-some pounds, I think 45 pounds, and he ran like a 4'4 or something. You know what they did? They put him at outside linebacker. Struggled immensely, mm-hmm. looked soft, looked slow, didn't know what he was doing, right? Well, then they was like, you know what? This is not working out. And so, you know what? Let's put him in the middle and let's see. And there you go.
Space eater.
The dude goes to the Hall of Fame.
Ball-seeking missile.
Right. I mean, you can't throw down the middle of him because he's 6'5", and he can jump and run with any receiver. And then he had enough, you know, strength. And he got better at taking on blocks. So then he became excellent against the run. Now you had a one-man wrecking crew along with Lance Briggs and whoever else, along with the rest of the defense. Now you got potentially 2 or 3 Hall of Famers out of there by just moving one guy into a position that he's more actually ready to play and better suited for than the outside. And so I think this, you know, when you talk about the portal or guys going different places, the success rate just isn't based on, okay, Harrison had, you know, 40 or like 80 tackles here. So you know what? He's automatically going to have those here. And sometimes you don't know what type of system he played in until you really do some digging. The problem is I think during the portal, everything's happened so quick that you're not able to do the same or research as if, like, you know, say Harrison was allowed to kind of be like a junior Seau. So there's a thing about junior Seau is that he would call out apple or like a B word or like bagel or like cat or something.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
CareCare is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So that would just let the defensive line know, if it was Apple, he going to just blitz the A-gap, cover my back. B-gap, this. If you don't know that Junior Seau had, like, just on the surface, you're like, man, that dude's just making plays. Well, you didn't know that the whole defense was sitting around him making those plays, and everybody else had enough experience to play off him.
That was the thing that created issue in Carolina, because Kuechly did that at such a high frequency and volume that he literally outstudied every offensive coordinator he played against, and the players around him excelled because he was literally calling out plays. Yeah. Like, he was calling out, hey, listen, this is what they run out of this. Here's what you need to do. Hey, A-gap this one. Just A-gap it, even if it seemed wrong against what they were lined up against. And then Kuechly gets hurt, and then he's out the game. And you replace somebody who can't possibly make everybody around him as good as they were.
Right. He essentially was just – he was in their system.
Yeah.
And that's where you see somewhat of a drop off, and that's where you got to make sure you really, really know the player and how. And like Luke Kuechly, right? He's a perfect example, DP, where you talk about a guy that's, okay, he didn't win a Super Bowl. He went to Boston College. You know, they didn't win a national championship, but he's a winner. He's a winner. Why is he a winner? He was extremely invested in the game of football. He got bigger, faster, and stronger by going to Boston College. But then he did everything he could to will Boston College to win. And they actually end up exceeding expectations the last 2 years he was there. And that's where people always like, oh, if you don't win a national championship, you're not a winner. No, that's not it. Did you do the things you did or needed to do to be a champion? Were you a champion every day? Did you have the intent on being your best? Were you just playing, or were you competing? And that's not just on Saturdays or Sundays or, you know, Mondays or Thursdays or whatever games that are on. It's an everyday type of thing. You got to compete on days like in a couple months when it's high of 23, 24, you know, 20-mile-an-hour wind. You got to be able to do that, and you got to do a lot of things when people aren't watching, because what you do when people aren't watching plays itself out in front of millions of people and whatever, you know, whatever league you're in. And
I mean I think people miss that when that said, what you do in the dark comes to light.
Yeah.
And they always think of it in the negative.
You just took the words right.
Just think of, you know, well, man, but no, the other side pays off.
Yeah.
And but you have to have an example of it,
right,
to share to people and say, hey, listen, show Kuechly in film study,
right
to go through, show Jordan's breakdown of what happened in critical mass. Show, as much as you talk about Rodman and his partying, go and show Rodman rebounding 1,000 rebounds.
And having his friends shoot that they couldn't play basketball so he could see it off. Like this is here's what I would say to somebody, right? Like that, you know, you hear people, you know, talk about the 90s, and that if the 90s scare you, then, you know, I'll just dress up in my football uniform.
No, be scared.
I'll dress up and, you know, I'll come in here. Won't look pretty, but I'll get in my pads, right? Here's what I'd say. Okay, here's why I would do it. I would say this. Okay, first you start with, you know, like Pistol Pete. Then you could go to, like I love George Gervin. I'll even take it a step further. Bernard King had 9 points on each side of the court, what he did, right? Then you could take it to, obviously, Larry Bird, Isaiah. You could take it to Jordan.
Stockton.
Right? Stockton, Malone. Okay, so now we're in Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're at Kobe. So now everybody knows who Kobe is. Mm-hmm. Okay, take it a step further. LeBron, Curry, KD, and who are present day. They've all said the same thing. We have put in so much time that we have a process that no matter where we're playing, we're going to win. They know the game. You've heard the story. Everybody says LeBron's coaching the team. When Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett knew that they couldn't beat him is when he told them exactly what you guys are going to do. And then my man is, what's the little dude number 30, Cole? Remember him? He was on the Heat.
And Bimbo. Bimbo.
No, it was Keon Cole. He had the flat top. He's like, yeah, he's going to hit that corner three. He's going to hit that. He told him, so this dude's going to hit the corner three. You're going to come and you're going to soft hedge me, double team. I'm going to pass him in the corner and beat you. Kobe Bryant, when he did his, before he passed away, he did his breakdown of players, mm-hmm. but then of his play, right? And then of Jordan, obviously, you know, that's now said. All these players. Bernard King, if you guys think there's such a difference in being great score, just Google Bernard King, what he says. It's the same thing that Steph Curry says right now. I get to a spot, it's lights out. A perfect example. Your boy Luka against the French Connection, the Eiffel Tower. It was over. And you saw the guy, Anderson, in the back where he said this. His old teammate was like, no, it's over. Because Luka knew, and when they got into a pick and roll situation, I'm in and out dribble. I got a fake bust down. It's all about preparation and what you put into it. It's not about the time. It's not going to change. Until you show me a team that don't hold themselves accountable, don't work hard, don't play for something bigger than them, don't are selfish and not selfless, and they win championships, I'll just sit back and chill. I don't care when it is. What do you do? Okay, here's even a better example. Since we won't talk about the 90s, we'll talk about the 60s. Everybody wants to talk about championships. Bill Russell, if you think about championships, he's the best player of all time. Bill Russell played with a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. He sacrificed for that.
Mm-hmm. 11 rings.
But he has 11 rings, right? So even let's take the Bulls with Jordan. Pippen sacrificed. Horace Grant sacrificed. Tony Kukoc sacrificed. B.J. Armstrong sacrificed. Everybody sacrificed.
Ron Harper made the great.
Right.
Ron Harper was a 23-point-a-game two-guard in Cleveland.
And said, how'd you know what? But how'd that work out for him?
Right? And, right?
Right.
You get tired of getting diced.
Right.
And he said, you know what? I'm going to go over here and play pseudo-point guard.
Yeah.
And I'm going to defend their best offensive player. Right? And it wasn't Scotty always.
Right.
Harper was the best backcourt defender.
Right. Right. Well,
even Jordan.
Let's take it a step.
It's Ron Harper.
We'll even talk about the Lakers with Kobe. Right? What do you think, Paul? You really think Paul Gasol, I mean, obviously he made the Hall of Fame. You think he probably could have scored, what, 4,000 more points if he was, you know, right? If he was on a team where it was just him or Buck. Here's a perfect example for you guys. Kevin Love, Timberwolves. He would, remember that, I remember, I was like, man, this dude's scoring 28 points, 20 rebounds.
He was dominant.
Right.
With Timberwolves.
If they were making the playoffs, they were out quick. Yeah. Right? He goes and he goes to the third option and goes and plays with LeBron, gets a championship. You have to sacrifice in order to be a champion. It's not going to change. If you don't want to talk about LeBron because that's too close to the 90s, we'll talk about Golden State Warriors. What do you think Andre Iguodala was doing? He's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Livingston, the best mid-range game. He got the best between him and KD and Jordan. They go back. I guess Kobe in there too.
DeMar to throw him in there.
Yeah, DeMar. Yeah. But Livingston, he's a lottery pick.
After that injury, he figured out a way to be lethal with that mid-range jumper.
And I am going to say, just for the record, that there are three mid-range guys that nobody ever talks about. Oscar Robertson was literally the master.
DP, hold on, DP. You're not allowed to talk about anything preceding 2015. We're talking about present
like
day.
Tiny Archibald, who at 5'11" led the NBA.
No, it was a different game back then.
Right,
I mean, everything was a mid-range jumper. Yeah. If you go far back enough.
Right, but I'm just saying, right? There's guys, like the Golden State Warriors team, Andrew, what's it? Andrew Bogut?
Bogut, yeah.
He made sacrifice. Everybody did.
Air Bogut.
You know what I'm saying? Like, guys made sacrifice. Okay, look, we'll even take it as me and Strick were talking about in the cross. You think Klay Thompson ain't sacrificed? I mean, he played essentially, he has the most, he has the least amount of dribbles scoring in a game. And what did he score, like 40?
43.
Yeah, 43. Mm-hmm. And he's always been, like, whether it was reluctantly okay with third, like, wheel. It's Steph. And then obviously Draymond with his personality.
Well, he's playing with an offense that didn't necessarily fit his style of game.
But he made it work, right?
But he made it work, right?
And how many championships he got?
What did the Warriors end up with? He's got three?
He's got four.
Four? Yeah. That's right, yeah.
He's got four.
Because back and forth. With right. The
he's got four. Mm-hmm. So then, and then you got present day, whether it's the, you know, all I'm saying is not going to change. It's not going
to
change.
I mean, Jaylen Brown is the perfect core to that. That he, on any team, he should be the guy. Oh, on any team.
He is a 20-plus shot guy.
And he's just like, nope, I'm here.
But what did he do, DP, in order to win a championship? What did he do? He upped his defense. Yep. And what did he do? When Tatum was struggling, who was able to push him over the edge? Right? And then guess who came with him? White. Then obviously everybody else. There you go, championship.
And those are the guys that work in the dark with Jaylen Brown, right? To go, listen, we're going to go to practice at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
We don't have to talk to media about it. We don't have to get out there and share our business. We're going to just go to work.
Like, if you don't think guys in the professional level sacrifice, I'm telling you right now, I saw him play in a pro-am. I don't know why he was in Minneapolis. Is Pritchard, he would give you work. If he was on any other team, he's a 12-plus point scorer. He's like eighth on the bench, ninth on the bench. He goes back to Boston. Why? Because it's bigger himself. So it's not going to change. I'm sorry. It's not going to change. I'm sorry to hurt people's feelings. It's not going to change. You have to understand it. There's a price to winning. And sometimes it sucks until you win, right, Harrison?
Yeah, well said.
I always tell people, I'll tell you this right quick. I shouldn't even say this, but listen, when you win, and it has nothing, it does take national championship. When you win, and this isn't even like when I played in the pros, when you win a big game, weirdly enough, the elation of guys in there sweaty. You got, you know, when you're on the road, you know, like I'm thinking about a time when we went up and beat New England on the road. The locker rooms is like literally the size of this. And guys are in there. Some guys are, you know, got the towels. I mean, it's pure elation because you know you've done something that you have no business doing. Right? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Anyways, good segment. Wish the Royals best of luck. We're going to pass it over to DP. My man Barry, they're one on one. I love me some Barry, man. He's a good, cool dude.
He gets after it, man. He gets after it. If you're not following him on social media, you're missing his QB work. Special.
Yeah, he does. And you know what? The best thing about it, he's investing in him.
Yeah.
He's invested in all his kids, and that's why they've all been successful. But we're old school. We're going to turn it over to DP in one on one. We'll holler at you tomorrow. We're out.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.